down Brother Rick Simpson's, whenever it was, sometime this year. Brother Billy was down there and was having a wonderful meeting. And one of them night services, I took one of them wild hairs. I just decided and handed him the microphone. Just handed it to him. Just do what you feel like. Tell you what, but when he handed it back to me, I kind of regretted it. I wished he'd just, I mean, he's a fine fella. There's some folks that the more you're around them, the more you like them. Lloyd Cheek is that way. Now, Don Ingram isn't. But, ain't he here? Eric, well, I didn't know you was here. Oh, boy. It's just a grand thing to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to see everybody. And psychic right there. But I appreciate the Lord. Last night, Brother Sutherland just, did wonderful. I was in one of my jovial moods. Most of the time, I'm just dead serious. But I was in one of my more jovial moods this morning. I told Brother Sutherland, I said, listen, you're preaching all my old messages. I'm a hollering amen and glory to God while you're preaching because I know where they're supposed to be put in at because I preach those messages. I said, but you're preaching the messages that got me voted out. You need to preach some of them newer ones. Is he looking at me? I don't. I just feel the cold stare. But it's a grand, thing. This is history. Hallelujah. Really, yes. You know, this is history. We're making memories and having services that very well could be talked about for generations to come if the Lord delays His coming. A place.
Brother Hyde.
May I ask Brother Marty Milliken to come help us?
Yeah. Hey, Martin.
Come on, Brother Marty. I tell you, this is a wonderful young man. I remember babysitting. This is going to really date me and make me feel old. But I babysitted these boys many moons ago when their family held revival at my home church for my dad.
Praise the Lord. Let's do it. Let's do it.
He
That's hate talent. I've never seen nothing like it. Boy, I need to read something to you out of the Bible. I can tell that's what some of you come to hear. Hallelujah. I want you to grab the book of Isaiah. It's in the New Testament for you non-Bible readers. It's in the Old Testament for those of you that are familiar with the book. Thank you, offerings and food and that stew last night. Man, we should just pray over that and have another bowl right quick here before we go any farther. Of course, one of my good friends was walking around with a salt shaker last night full of cayenne pepper. And, you know, yeah, I'll try a little. So, it was, that's, his stew was, it was well done. It was cooked twice. Once by them and then once by that salt shaker thing right there. And but I was okay. I was. And when I got home and finally took my first breath, I knew I was going to make it. But I want to read this to you. I got this little thing. I got this thing on my mind for all you folks that are bound, and all these folks that need to be set free. And I want to read. It's Isaiah chapter 51. Yes, Isaiah 51. And as usual yesterday, after I got through preaching, that next day speaker that came along, Brother Johnson just pulled it right on out. And so I'm trusting that Brother Mark Brock, after a while, cleans this mess up here and puts us back on the road to sanity. But this is what it says, Isaiah 51, verse 20. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Now, Lord, right there for this morning service, I pray that you would direct me to your thoughts and help me to do what you have dealt with my heart about, taking care of things in the congregation that I have no knowledge of whatsoever. I want to be your intermediary this morning. Help me in thy name. Amen. Y'all can be seated if you feel like it. Run the aisles if you want to. This is your last chance. Hallelujah. I'm not just an authority on all the things in the Word of God, but I do know one thing, that there was times that Israel got themselves in a real jam. Even though they were God's children and even though they were the apple of his eye, they got themselves in a real jam sometimes. I mean, they fell into some troubled times. They got in some tragic conditions. I mean, really, it would have made sane people realize that they were violating the will of God for their lives. It would have made sane people try to change that. But folks are doing that today, and they continue right on in their mad dash. So I guess generations never learn. But what the Bible related to us was that Israel was it almost insinuated that there was a strength there. There was a stamina there. There was a wild bull spirit there, but that stamina and that wild bull ability was hampered by the fact that they had allowed themselves to get in a net, a trap. Now, I want you to picture a big old male buffalo out on the range, big old hump on his back and big old horns. And I think I saw somebody like that the other day at Walmart, to be honest with you. But big old horn, she really looked funny. But I want you, to picture that if you can. You know, you just, I want you to picture Black Death, one of them Cape buffaloes of Africa. Them things, they just kind of, you know, stand around there, look at you, and just say, I'm not too smart, but I'm smarter than you are if you get any closer to me. Even an Asian buffalo, a water buffalo. I want you to picture in your mind what them, the mutt, I want you to look at them things. And when you really consider that that's one of the designations of the scripture about Israel, that is a formidable beast. But it's amazing how what you could be and what you are supposed to be can be completely demolished by the fact that you get yourself in a net and lose the freedom that you could have had and you should have had. Now, I go to zoos from time to time and regular zoos and then camp meetings. But I go to zoos from time to time, and while I'm there, I enjoy that. I really enjoy the snake house. I can't help it. I just go in there. But I go to zoos sometimes, but I really don't think, even though some of them animals are raised in captivity, I think that if a door, I think that every one of them wishes they were someplace else. I do, because their nature, the way that their nature is to be free. Oh, yeah, it is. And I just hang on. It's going to get better. Mark's coming. But I know that there's power and there's muscle and there's strength. And I want you to see yon young man. I want you to see him. Man, here he is coming down the sidewalk. He's been lifting weight. I mean, that kid, he's been on double-dose steroids with vitamin C. Here he comes walking down that street, able to do about anything that he possibly wants to do. And as he passes by, you're sadly reminded by the fact that even though you have the potential and you have been made to be something else, that young man is just as bound can be, even though he thinks at that moment that he's free. Or see young, beautiful girl, see her prance across the stage of a pageant, or see her bat her tarantula eyes at some boy that's walking by her on the school. All these images of somebody that has a strength and a power and an alluring attraction to them. But see young ladies in such a bound condition with the net of the world spread over them, that really and truthfully, though they are walking and talking, they are not free. See the family, see the husband, see the wife, see the strength that they have when they walk into the house of God. Watch them as they grab the songbook and open it up to the Word of God and the songs and go to singing. He set me free. Watch them. Look at them. Look at them standing there. I mean, the epitome of strength and power. Just look at them. But also look at the fact that they never step out. They never raise their hands. They never come down to the altar. There's some kind of a net that's thrown over that relationship that keeps them from being the full potential that God really wants them to be. Or see yon preacher in the pulpit. He has abilities. He has a mind. He's got a talent. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to study. He can memorize the Greek and the Hebrew and all the rest of those words. I mean, Strong's Concordance. He goes to bed thinking about it overnight and wakes up the next. I mean, he is a power. He is a power. Woo! Power! Full force behind that pulpit. But it seems like God never blesses him. Seems like they just never get completely free. Seems like that they're just never a real success. Seems like that there's always a longing look in their wife's eyes. And seems like there's always a dissatisfied look in the eyes of their children. I noticed it. I mean, there's a lot of folks that look good that are so terribly bound. I never seen so many folks with such beautiful long-sleeve shirts on that are bound. I've never seen anything. I mean, it happens. Last night while Brother Sutherland was preaching, he wasn't just whistling Dixie. He was talking to us about the power of the name of Jesus and about the power of the Holy Ghost. And he was thinking while he was speaking the same thing I was thinking yesterday when I was speaking. If that power is available, why would anybody sit back and let a man pull his guts out for 2 hours telling people that they could have what they really need, and yet they sit back and have to be coaxed and begged to even make an altar call? And then it dawned on me, they're carrying something a whole lot heavier. They're carrying something a whole lot heavier than their purse, and a whole lot heavier than their wallet, and a whole lot heavier than their job and their responsibility. They're carrying something that's got them so wrapped up that they really don't know what it's like to get loose and let God really have his way in their marriage, home, life, ministry, or anything else. Now listen, I ain't going to be up here all day. Mark might be. I'm not going to be. Just thought I'd throw that in there. God wants the teenagers in this room to live free. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Oh, yeah. He wants men that's sitting in this house to have such a measure of freedom about them that they can be that spiritual leader, that they can do what God wants. He wants the sisters. He wants them to be free, not free to just say whatever they want to say on their phone, or the men not free just to get over in a little clustered group and go. I mean, God, that's not his idea of freedom. His idea of freedom is for us to let the real power that he has given us loose. Let it go. I'm not going to stand up here and try to proclaim to you that I have never allowed myself to get covered in a net. But I'm going to tell you this one thing. Every time that I did, God didn't throw it. The devil did. Every time I got myself bound up, it wasn't of God's choosing. It was of the enemy's choosing. And if you're sitting in this service in a holiness church and you've been there 40 years and you still don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I am not your enemy. And somebody preaching on the Holy Ghost is not your enemy. The enemy is what you have allowed to wrap yourself up in such a package that you really don't know what it's like to be free. Now, just a few minutes ago on this platform, you saw and heard one of the best piano players that you'll ever want to see and hear. A few minutes on this platform while ago, I was playing that old saxophone, and I'm telling you, I forgot you were here. And for a brief moment, I forgot I was here. I forgot that the stage was there. I mean, for a brief moment, I was just playing because I was free. And I'm telling you, you could have sat there and told me I don't even like saxophone music. And I might have agreed with you, but I was free. I mean, I was playing about being free. I was playing a song about being free. I felt free. I heard Marty over there playing the piano free. I'm telling you, and there's the spirit that grabbed a hold. At the brief moment there playing that horn, I felt like I could charge hell. Yeah! And don't everybody jump up and go to shouting. But I want you to agree with me about one thing. People in this room right now, and I'm not preaching to people in London. I'm preaching people right here in this room. Backsliders. Cold. I can just go down the list. If you are in that condition, and you're just at this meeting because it's good food and good friends, but you had no intentions of leaving any different than you came, I admire your pretty shirt, and I'm thankful for your beautiful long hair, and I'm glad for the modesty in your skirts, and I'm glad for the respect in your handshakes. But I'm telling you, you can be right in the very camp of Israel with enough power to do whatever is necessary to do for God to bless your life and you be so bound that when you walk out the door of the house of God, you walk out with a critical spirit, or you walk out with a harshness, or you walk out with one of those. It works for everybody else, but it doesn't work for me. It really would work for you if you could just come out from under your net. It really would. There's not one person in this house saved and sanctified that couldn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now if you'd come out from under your net. There's not one man in this house right here that couldn't get delivered of your secret habit if you'd come out from under your net right now. The power is there. The force is there. God is there. You just can't shake it. And that says something to me, big man. That says something to me. That says something. That says something to me, big man. It really does. It says that you can only survive on your reputation so long, and you can only survive on your physical stature so long, and your boasting ways. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tear their head off out in the middle of an alley somewhere. I'll show them who's a man. And really and truthfully, there are far greater men in this room than a lot of the very, very astute, muscular men of our society today. And the difference is, we were man enough to come out from underneath our net. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I'm not a football player. I have never been contacted by the football league. Never, never. I mean, they wasn't even interested in me being a water boy. I've never been much for tennis. I've never been. See, I did that right there, and I feel like I need a chiropractor. I've never been much for tennis. And as far as being a track man, you know, track, running track, you know, like some of you all do, you know, when you're having one of them too much cayenne pepper on your stew nightmares. But I have never been just a real athletic kind of person. And because of that, because my brother was, and because of that, I took quite a bit of ridicule in school. I really did. I mean, I know you can't believe that somebody with a body built like this would ever have to take a lot of ridicule in school. But I took a lot of ridicule in school. And I guess my only salvation was the fact that I picked up a saxophone and could finally do something that the basketball captain couldn't do. I guess that was my only salvation. But I'm telling you, when I picked up the saxophone to do what the basketball captain couldn't do, I also allowed that saxophone to drag me into some of the most outlandish things, into some of the most outlandish situations that absolutely, you'd have been ashamed of me. You'd have been ashamed. You hear me? You'd have been ashamed of me. But brother, sister, when I really decided that night that I was going to get free, I took that saxophone, laid it up there on that altar, and told God I'll never play another note on it if you'll just turn me loose. I told God I'll never play another note on the piano if you'll just turn me loose. And guess what God did? He helped me get the net off and turned around and handed me my horn and said, blow it like you feel like. And I'm telling you something right here, I'd be ashamed at some of the things that might be going on under this tabernacle. But there's a God who can change all of it for you today. Some of you boys, invite me to your house. Let me into your bedroom. Pull your internet up. Let me see your last website. Some of you young ladies, bring me your diaries. Some of you moms and dads, let me see your Facebook. Of course, everybody's already seen it. I don't want people to know every time I'm brushing my teeth. I don't want. I don't want them to know every time I'm brushing my teeth. I don't want them to know if I use right guard or left guard. I don't want them to know if I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to Walmart. I don't want everybody to know that I'm at Walmart. Really. I wouldn't mind if everybody knew I was mowing the yard. Somebody might just feel a little bit of compassion and come by and help me. But I don't want everybody to know everything about my life. I really don't. And the reason that I don't, I ain't got time just before I run out of a burning building to run back in and say, oh, by the way, my house is on fire right now. I'll get back with you just as soon as I possibly can. You're nuts. You're nuts. You're nuts. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm not running for office. You don't have to vote for me. Isn't that wonderful? And hey, pray, honey. Go start the car. Listen, telling you, we've got folks and in the text. And it, I don't want those nets. I don't want them. When I come to the house of God, I already know that there are devils to contend with. I should not have to pull you into an altar simply because you won't get rid of your net. We already have to contend with sickness. I should not have to plead with you to get into service. And just simply because you choose to come to church with your net. I'm telling you, we shouldn't have to beg you to sing. We shouldn't have to beg you to worship. We shouldn't have to beg you to grab a songbook. No! You ought to come in free, ready to let God have His way. But there are people, my dad, oh, I love Dad. My Bible marker is his funeral obituary. Look at his eyes every time I read my text. My dad, knife up the back of the neck. Mom and Dad, now that Mom is in a care facility and Dad is at the cemetery, I told my wife the other night, I said, I'd kind of like to have this old red chair. She said, well, it's 60s throwback. Old red chair in the corner. Used to be blue. Mom went through this big red velvet thing. Wished it had been cakes. But went through this big red velvet thing. And I guess she, you know, if she was an Elvis fan, it would have been blue suede. But she went through this big red kick of velvet. And it's a velvet chair. Real red velvet. But easy to decorate at Christmas. But you'd probably have a hard time doing anything else with it. But I told my wife I'd like to have that. And she's gracious. She really is. Her little eyes are just a batting. And I knew she was trying to figure out where in the garage we could set it. But the reason I was interested in our chair was that was my hiding chair. That was the chair that I would run down the hall, pull it up against the bed, crawl down behind it, and stay there while Mom and Dad fought in the kitchen. It was my hiding chair. And, you know, maybe that's why I had ulcers. Maybe that's why, maybe that's why I'm kind of a nervous kind of individual. I don't shake my head because it's fun. I shake it because I can't hardly do anything else. But, I mean, I'm just a nervous kind of person. Yeah. I don't think... I have met some people, I don't think they have one nerve. You know. But I kind of like to have that chair. My dad was a very, very... The knife, he never would tell me. I asked him many times about the barroom fight and the knife. He never would tell me about that. But I was present and accounted for when Dad got under conviction, fox hunting one night, come into town, got Mom, went over to the pastor's house, and prayed through. But during that session, My dad never did get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My dad never could clap his hands. He had so much pride. My dad had so much pride that when you'd say, raise your hands and praise the Lord, he'd look around first. And just make, I mean, dad had a measure of pride about him. And dad had a measure of pride about me when I was preaching, and he would critique me sometimes. But in the middle of all that I'm trying to tell you, the reason that my dad did not get the baptism of the Holy Ghost was he never did pull the net completely off of his life. He was saved. He had already started moving in the right direction, but he never did pull the net off. And there are people sitting in this service right here today. You have been around the power of God and never have really felt it. You have seen the power of God, but it's never really touched you. The night that the power of God hit me at Granite City Youth Camp and my wife had to go get men to pick me up and set me in the car and take me back to the motel where I was staying, I'm telling you, when I came to myself right then, I just had one question. I'm telling you, I was out of it. You hear me? You think I'm out of it right now. I think you are. Hey, I'm telling you, I got the net off in that service. And I'm telling you, from that very moment on, I could tell people what it felt like to really, really, really get anointed and really, really, really get free. And if you've never really, really felt that way, I'd get up right now if I was you. I'd throw off that net and I'd tell God, I want to have a move of the Lord. Listen. I mean, there are critical stages of life. There really are. And there's two or three different ways that you can. There's different ways that the net can get you. Sometimes it's a subtle net. I mean, sometimes it's kind of serpent-like. It just kind of slithers around. And it comes up on you so slow that you didn't know that you hadn't read your Bible, and you really forgot that there was revival, and you was expected to be there. You really knew that you shouldn't take the job because you'd miss too much church, and you really knew that you shouldn't be dating that boy because just having lips and blue jeans is no criteria for a husband. And I don't want some of you young old maids to take offense at me, but you're just 13. You have plenty of time to find some old boy. He may not look good. Everyone, you can't always find somebody like me. He may not look good. He may not be a handsome. I told Brother Gabbard, should I tell him this? I have to, because then you say. I told him this morning, you have no idea the pressure, how hard it is to get up of a morning, stand in front of a mirror, and be so good looking that you have to dress down to fit in with the rest of the men. And he said, I know just how you feel. Stay away from the pastor. I'm telling you, the net, you hear me? It just kind of sneaks up on you. It's just one of them services where he says, let's come and raise our hands around the front. And you sit back. Just subtle. Subtle. But I'm telling you, then the next thing you know, they're making the altar call. And you're saying to yourself, well, right now I'm a little preoccupied, but I'll get in tomorrow night. And the net just keeps getting bigger and craftier. And I saw a woman like this too at the mall the other day. But the net just keeps getting craftier and bigger until you're now in the house of God. I'd like to testify, Brother Gabbard. Brother, I'd like to say a few words for the Lord. Okay? I've been in this good way now for 56 years. And I know that I don't get in like I used to, but I got a spleen that's falling down around my ankles. I just can't, don't sit there and look at me like I'm in a net. You ornery outfits, I'm telling you, if some of you had a mirror and would allow your spiritual self to look at it, you'd be sitting there looking just like this. Because I'm telling you, there's little subtle things that's crept into our homes and into our lives. I mean, it's the same 12 that shout. It's the same 13 that get a hold of God. It's the same bunch, and it's the same other bunch standing around the fridges. And they just can't get loose. And that's because something grabbed a hold of you. And if it ain't a subtle attack, then it's a tornado attack. You're just walking down the street, sir, and you meet this young lady, sir, that's dressed for the very purpose of being provocative. Sir, she's took my picture. I'm glad I had it off. And suddenly, it's like a storm. It's on you. It's on you. And the next thing that you know, the scripture rises to the surface. He that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in it. And you didn't get up that day to do that. You didn't get up that morning and make a date with a street walker for the local motel. You got up that day and you went to work. You got up that day and you went to buy gas. You got up that day and you went to McDonald's. You got up that day, but before the day was out, storm, tornado, net. And then the next thing that happens, we don't repent of those weak moments. We don't repent of those times that these have happened, because can't nobody see the net. Nobody knows it happened. And you'll never see that girl again, but there'll be other girls and there'll be other opportunities, because the net just keeps spreading and it gets heavier until Mr. Bull, you wild bull, who ought to be shouting the victory and have one of the best families in the church, you're sitting back, you send your wife to the house of God, you don't even come to the... Are you getting this? There are people in our churches that it wasn't a subtle attack. It wasn't subtle. It was a storm. Now please, girls, you young girls, now listen. I'm not being silly here. I want to be very, very factual right here. If the boy that you're interested in or the guy that you're fixing to marry, and I'm not saying one thing about church, sleeves, hair, or if he's a preacher's kid, but if you're fooling around with any boy that you have noticed does not enter in into the worship service of God, I don't care if his cowboy boots come from a holiness boot maker out in Oklahoma, and he wouldn't even let them use silver nails. It's held together with gorilla glue. I mean, I'm talking about holiness here. If he sits back there and looks like a can of skull on a pew with a lid that's on there so tight, I tell you what I would do. Now, please, I tell you what I'd do. I know he's got a face only a mother could love. I know. But let me tell you what I'd do. you're starting off wrong. Now, how can a guy say anything like that who doesn't have kids? A guy that's preached so many youth camps that I can't keep track of them is a guy that can say it. I mean, the other night, a guy walked up and said, I was in your youth camps. I know it. How you doing? Not good. Not good. Hey, how are you? I'd have heard you preaching out in COYC. You ain't been out here in 20 years. How's it going with you, man? Not good. Home's broke. I'm telling you, some of the very net cases that was sitting in the congregation then are bigger net cases now. I'm telling you, boys, you don't just get you a little girl because her hair is long and so is her skirt. You find somebody that ain't afraid to raise their hand and pray the prayer of faith and let the Lord have His way in their life. You don't need them. I never got over Stephen Moore stealing my Sunday school teacher right over here, Wanda. I never got over it. That's Wanda sitting here. She's. If you ever feel like leaving him, Wanda, you can come back. I never did get over. I never did get over her falling for that big galoot sitting there beside her. Never did. Of course, he's one of the finest guys you'll ever want to meet. And all these years, he operated single. Yeah, he did. He'd just come walking into meetings, free as a bird. Get up in the pulpit, preach, free as a bird. One day he looked back there on that pew and saw Wanda, free as a bird. And she looked at him, free as a bird. And them birds got together. I figured he'd migrate to Missouri. He migrated her back down south. And I still am kind of netted up about that. But I'm telling you, brother, sister, would I embarrass you if I ask you how old you was when you got married? You remember? 40? She was 48 when she married Stephen, who was 18. No, how? Stephen, how old are you? 49? 5? 9. Good. Good. It's Bible, Stephen. Raise up a child in the way they should go. It's Bible. 49, 48. Okay, chew your fingernails off. Okay, marry him, get him, take him. Go ahead, get him at 18. Let's do 17, 16, 14. I mean, there's some lame brains that even let their daughters date at 13. You should have a brain transplant. You should have a brain transplant. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got more problems than a net. I'm telling you, you got more problems. But at 48, 49, and Mark's coming here in just a minute. He's going to preach the gospel to you. Right now, I'm just wound up. And I'm telling you, at 48 and 49 year old, this young couple got together, got married, pastor in the church. She instantly became pastor's wife. She instantly became Sunday school teacher. They're happy. They ride around together in happiness. Their home is built on happiness. And some of you that got him at 18, you can't stand him. You wish that it never happened like it did. And it's, are you getting this? I'm telling you that that is a terrible thing to start a marriage under. You better be free. He just spits all over the sink, gets stuff all over the mirror. Okay. Okay. I tell you, she sits around all day long reading them books, them novels about them naked men and women all the time, sitting there reading that softcore porn all the time. And when I come in the house, My gravy looks like mortar. My biscuits look like coal. And I ain't seen my kids in 3 weeks eating around the table because one of them's in basketball, one of them's in volleyball, and one of them just constantly has a ball. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. I'm not preaching to a bunch of Baptist folks. If I was preaching to Baptist folks, they'd all be shouting amen. Because once they're in, they're always in. They can live like a devil. You can't. You hear me? You can't. You can't. We can't. You have got to get the net off and let God free you up. Listen. Listen. Elijah. What's the matter, Bubba? I need an Elijah. Would you be Elijah? Would I embarrass you to be Elijah? You don't have to do nothing but just go up here and get down on the floor. You can do it. I know you can. You go to Ronnie Wheeler's church. You do? He goes to Ronnie Wheeler's church. Let's just pray for him right now. Well, I'm glad Ronnie ain't here. I will catch it when I get back home. What about Elijah? What about Elijah? Big man of God, huh? Power. Woo! How many camp meetings you just preach? Well, I'll tell you what, I was out there on the hill. Call fire down out of heaven. I got so wound up that I beat a couple of horses all the way into town. And I mean, when I said it's going to rain, it rained. That's wonderful. Then what in the world are you doing setting under a juniper tree, netted, when just a few hours earlier, you's having a revival? Well, tell you what, is this woman, she got after me, and it's not the fact that she's a woman, it's not the fact she got after me, it's the fact that I'm just so depressed. Oh, God. Take away my life. Oh, God. You ever notice how some folks who want to commit spiritual suicide think they're spiritual doing it? Oh, God. Oh. You need to stop your... You need to come out from under your net. You need to stand back up and you need to say, I'm part of the group that calls fire down. I'm part of the group that has rain. I'm part of the group that's never seen a woman, man, or any kind of nation that's ever caused me to cow down. You need to get to the place. Are you listening to me? You need to shut your medicine cabinet. You need to shut your medicine cabinet. And I'm not telling you quit taking medicine, because I take some right along the way. A good dose of Pepto-Bismol right now comes to mind. But I'm telling you, you hear me? You need to shut your medicine cabinet and quit blaming your condition on your condition when you come to the house of God. You need to come out from under your net some night and let God have a chance of calling fire down for you. Let it rain on you. You hear me? We got folks that sit sick in our church services because they choose to. If I walked up there to the front of that church and Brother John Gabber laid his hands on me and healed me of my 3 gallbladders that have intertwined, doctors ain't never seen nothing like it. I got more stones than the creek does down there. I'm telling you, David wouldn't have had to pick up one if I'd have been with him. He could have just thrown one of my gallbladders. There's people that had rather sat in church and give the excuse of their net than to get out from under that net and tell God, I'm tired of excuses. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of everybody having revival and I'm not having it. I'm tired of everybody shouting and I sit here like I'm not all along. This is a very simple procedure. And this is what it looks like.
Glasses. No, don't hold that. It's wet. It's a very
simple procedure, but we are going to have surgery right here. Yes, we are. It's a very simple procedure. It's a very simple procedure about this camp meeting, your marriage, your dating life, your habits. This is a very simple procedure. This is how it begins. I feel like that God could help me. I feel like that the Spirit of God is in this house. I feel like I'm among good holiness people that know how to pray the prayer of faith. But I feel like that I'm covered with a net. But I feel like that some things I have to do to allow myself to get free. I could pray for Brother Sutherland. Oh, God, send Brother Benny back there and grab a hold of this net. I can sit back here. Oh, God, send Don Ingram back there to get rid. I can sit back here and say, it must not be the will of God for me to come out from underneath this net, because God didn't send anybody back here to me. He's already sent His Word and healed them. He's already sent the power of the Holy Ghost. And you are in a place right now that it's your choice. You can sit there the rest of this service and look at me through that net and feel justified for the way that you do not have the delivering power of God. Or you can lean back and say, I'm going to start with my own will. And I have a little inkling inside me that I do not want to sit here any longer. Now, I can't give you the Holy Ghost, and I can't give you your healing, but I can give you this word of advice. You're closer to it now than you've ever been when you decide to get out from under the net. You're closer than you've ever been, but you gotta say, I... Okay, I need pop. Sweetheart, could you come help me? I need you to be Potiphar's wife. I do. I need you. You're Potiphar's wife. I really ought to get a Potiphar. I need somebody that looks like a Potiphar. Don, listen. Just kidding. Potiphar. I'm Joseph. This old woman is after this young boy. Cougar. After this little rabbit. Right there. Twisting and turning and trying to catch his eye. But the whole matter of the story was, she was a net in progress. Oh, yeah. She wanted me to enter the net. Internet. I think that's where they got that name. She wanted me. And so the day finally come that she throwed it. And Joseph said, oh no, oh no. And Joseph said, oh no, oh no, oh no. Because sometimes you have to lay aside legitimate things that there's nothing wrong with to keep the net from getting you. Sometimes God in His Bible says no.
No.
No. Says no. Sometimes in God's Bible, He says nothing. And suddenly those nothings become personal convictions when it has something to do with the net. Now, I'm not going to get into it about personal convictions, because the very reason why I'm not is they're personal. Yeah. I'm not going to preach personal convictions. I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you a couple of mine. You want to hear a couple of my personal convictions? I just cannot. And I've told you this before. I just can't go. I can't go to gospel singings. I can't. I ain't found it in the Bible, and I'm not going to look for it in the Bible. As I found so much other stuff in the Bible, it's kept me busy. But I can't go. And the reason I can't go is that was a net that was thrown over me. And that net that was thrown over me, I recognized I was going to have to lose some legitimate stuff if I'm going to stay net free. You might have to get rid of your computer. And the Bible may not tell you you have to, but if it keeps you out of the net, get rid of it. You may have to get rid of your ball and glove, but if it keeps you out of the net, get rid of it. You might, boy, you have quit shouting now. I mean, a while ago when I was dealing with your gallbladder, I had 14 nurses ready to holler glory to God. But right now, I'm telling you, girls, there are some legitimate things that the Bible says nothing about. But if you have to give them up to stay out from under the net, give them up. I'm terribly hot right now. I hope Mark Brock is fixing to preach on the coming of the Lord, because I'd really like to get out of here right now. You know I'm telling you right. If she entices you at the Quick Mart every time you go fill up your gas tank, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not fill up at Shell. Thou shalt not fill up at BP. No, but there are some legitimate things you should stay away from when you know that it's fixing to be a net. Some men in our holiness ranks have jolly well got what they deserved because they had a backbone like a red worm. Don't look at me like that. Some of them limp-wristed sissies absolutely got in such a place that they wanted to give God all the glory and they couldn't even control the net that was sneaking up on them. I'm telling you, don't look at me like that. We've got, honey, pray. I think I just went from being anointed to mad. It's not a good place to be in. I feel like it's a net. Listen. God says, Paul, you know, it's going to happen to you. Paul says, I know it. The things I ought to do, I don't do them. The things that I ought not do, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. And so that's why Paul determined early on that he was going to get rid of a lot of legitimate things in order that he didn't get tangled back up in that net. But then here comes Jesus. He walks in to the Bible. He comes out of the glory world. He walks into history. He starts down at a manger. And at the very moment that he does, the angels on the hillside look down at the shepherds and say, you can get out from under your net now. There is born in Judea. There is born in the city of David. There is born down here in Bethlehem. You can get out from under your net now. Yeah, you can get out from under your net now. Oh, yeah. When the wise men those years traveled on and they climbed down off of their camels before they could get them a good bath and get the sweat off their brow, they were suddenly aware of the fact that gold and frankincense and myrrh was the exact gifts that they should be giving this child that is able to get the net off. He started doing that from the very moment that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the net, sorry, which taketh away the sins of the world. And every day that he walked and every day that he talked, he had one characteristic that none of the rest of the men in the Bible had. He never put the net on. It never got him. Well, I'll tell you this, Jesus, I will show you the kingdoms of the world. No, thank you. I don't want to play with that net. Well, I want to show you. I'll give you power. You can say to this rock, yeah, that's how the rock got here in the first place. I already had a conversation with it. I don't need your net. And right here in this service, I'm hot and tired. You're hot and bothered. But right here in this service, there is the power of a delivering Savior. That the only time that he halfway allowed the world to throw a net on him, he just kept it for a couple of days. And when he walked out of the tomb, he folded it, left it inside the tomb. When he stepped out of the tomb and they rushed in, there, fold with a linen cloth. And I know it was a napkin. I know what it was, but I tell you what it feels like it was. He folded the net and he left it in his tomb. And that tells me right here and right now, if you've got one on you, you must be playing close to the graveyard. If I was you, I'd lean back in this service right now. If I was a young lady that didn't have the Holy Ghost, I'd already be on my feet saying, my God, I'm going to break up with him. I'm going to let God have my life. If I was a boy in here. Now, Brother Hatt, this is a day service. Oh, yeah. You about pulled that one on me, but I noticed that the stars are gone and the sun is. Listen,
you might break out and cast off and stop the tide before the cup is full. You can turn it around. You can regain. For it is my will to bless and to do and to help you. But if not, your time will pass and that time will come and there'll be no deliverer, saith the Lord.
Now, did my wife say that, or did the Holy Ghost? Was that Brother John Gabbard talking to us, or was that the Holy Ghost? Was that the third part of the Godhead that dropped down into this tabernacle today and looked at this congregation and said that that boy's been preaching for over an hour about somebody that could get you out of the net because he never allowed the net to get him? If I was in this service right now and I had a netting condition in my life, oh yeah, and that's a broad spectrum because I've gone from everything to everywhere. I've gone from everywhere to everywhere. I've gone from music all the way. I've gone from all of it. We're not trying to be psychoanalysts here. We're not a bunch of Heloises trying to decipher what's going on. I'm telling you, I felt the Lord about this little message. It may mean nothing. Maybe it was just the stew. But I felt the Lord in this message. The night before, I stayed up till 3. Last night, I went to bed. I felt this message. If I was in this room right now, well, maybe he'll have us all stand. No, maybe he'll have you pull the net off and get up without me telling you. Well, maybe he'll just tell us to all gather around the front. No, when you do that, you'll drag your stinking net with you. I want you to take it off back there where you're at. And when you come up toward the front, come free. I want you girls to survey the life that you are planning right now with whoever you're planning it with. And if you recognize that it's just a net, I want you to cast it off before you ever get up out of your seat. And come up. Well, I just feel like if you'd say stand and raise your hand. I know. We've been doing that for years. You've been hiding behind that net for years. I'm looking for somebody in this room. I'm looking for somebody in this room that'll reach up there and say, I have fixed my hair around you for the last time. I have put my blue long sleeve shirt on around you for the last time. I have quit going to bed guilty thinking about you for the last time. I have quit going to the altar always feeling bound because of you for the last time. I'm going to leave it back here where I'm at. I'm going to get up. I'm going to come down that aisle, and I'm going to make history today. I'm going to make history today. I'm going to watch the Lord stand up, and I'm going to watch hell back up, and I'm going to say, oh, glory to God, you've done it again. You did it for somebody else. It wasn't just for Brother Gavin, Brother Sutherland. You didn't just deliver Brother Height. You've delivered me. Listen. Listen, when that old boy in this service right here that needs to come boiling out of that seat like a bull, when they come boiling out of that seat like a bull and head down in front of this, Brother Mark's coming in just a minute. You know how we do around here. We shout through 3 hours and still have preaching. But when that big old boy right here in this room jumps up, comes out in that aisle and says, my God, I'm bigger than this piece of junk net that's been trying to strangle me. By the time that old boy gets up here in the front, there's going to be some more of you in this room say, oh, glory be to God. If he can do it, I can do it. Oh, yeah. So I'm waiting on you, big old boy. I'm waiting for somebody sitting in this room right now that you know you're fighting such a problem that the only time you raise your hands is when I tell you to. The only time you come and pray is when I tell you to. Well, that's good. Hey, I'm telling you. I'm looking for that husband. Just stand up right wherever he's at right now. Reach over and take that net off and look at hell and say, as for me and my house, we're fixing to get free. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm looking for that teenage young lady that'll look at all of her friends on the left and on the right. I'm looking at all them teenage. How could a guy that size have a net? Woo! You've already missed my message. He just walked by without it. He left it back there. Yeah. The guy just walked by me and left his net back there. He's up here now waiting for the fire and the rain. If I was a young lady in this room right now, I'd look over at the girls beside me and I'd make a quick decision. Am I going to walk and live like this and try to meet everybody's expectations? Or am I going to pick myself up by the nape of the neck, toss the net that a peer pressure has thrown upon me until I'm doing things and living ways that it's not even my nature to do, and I'm going to go down there to that altar, and before I eat dinner, I'm going to be on fire. Before I get down to the front of that church, it'll be beginning to rain. Oh, glory to God. We're trying to have a camp meeting. I'm trying to have revival. We're trying to have a few services. I'm trying to have a deliverance meeting. Woo! Brother Maxim, pray with him like that for just a few minutes. Then I want you to grab a hold of him if you have to. Raise his hands up. Tell him to stand up. And tell Elijah in the making. You'll enjoy the rain a whole lot more when it's falling in your face and not just falling on your back. Woo! You'll enjoy it a whole lot more when you feel it all over me! Woo! Tell them, boys! Tell them, boys! Tell them! Wanda, you get over here with her, and you tell her in just a few minutes. Tell her just a few minutes. Get them hands up. Look straight into God's heaven. And get ready for the best facial, special facial that we've had in a long, long time. Was you there on that Thursday morning? What morning was that? The fire fell? It started raining around that tabernacle. And the church launched into a revival right in the middle of camp. I'm telling you, there's people in this room today. You'll never get the Holy Ghost. You are never going to get the Holy Ghost. You are not a candidate for the Holy Ghost because you've never left the net. Folks in this room, you'll never feel that deliverance of God because you're not a candidate to get rid of the net. Woo! You guys praying around this altar. You girls praying around this altar. You guys praying around this altar. Listen. Listen. I'm going to throw a little Bible on you. Listen. Listen what an angel told him. He is not here. He is risen. I'm going to throw a little gospel on you right now. The net is not here. It's time for you to rise. The net is not here. It's time for you to rise. The net is not here. It's time for us to praise Him without somebody telling us. The net is not here. It's time for us to rejoice without being told. Tell him, Brother Maxim. Get him, Brother Futrell. I don't think he'll fight you. Grab him. Raise his head. Raise his hands up. Grab him, boys. Just grab a hold of him, men. What about him, boys? What kind of church service do you have there on Thursday? Woo! There you go. Oh, God love her little heart. Them hands weigh 1,000 pounds. You know why? It's because you've been used to holding a net. You've been used to having to fight that net. But you ain't got it right now. There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing around this altar for you that are seeking God. There ain't nothing that can keep you from lifting your hands. Saying, my God.